Canto 3, Chapter 22. The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Maitreya said, after the sage this way had described the greatness of all the virtues and activities of Emperor Manu, he fell silent. The emperor, feeling somewhat embarrassed, then addressed him. Manu said, you, Brahmins, were in your connectedness in penance, knowledge, yoga, and aversion from sense gratification by the Creator created from his mouth for the purpose of defending him in the form of praises, Vedic hymns. And the Father, with 1,000 feet, the Lord of the universal form, created us from his 1,000 arms in order to protect them. Therefore, with us, the Kshatriyas, the rulers being his arms, the Brahmins are called his heart. Because the Godhead, he, the imperishable one, who is both cause and effect, defends them both, do the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas protect each other as also the interest of the soul. By just seeing how you, O Supreme One, personally, so full of love, explained what the duty of a king is to his subjects, all my doubts have resolved. To my good fortune, O powerful one, I could meet you who cannot be seen easily by those not acting in accord with the soul. I am so happy that my head could touch the dust of your feet that bring all the blessing. I am lucky to have been granted the great favor of being instructed by you. How lucky I am to have listened with pricked up ears to your pure words. O sage, your honor, O divine mercy, now be pleased yourself to listen to the prayer of this humble person whose mind is full of worries out of love for his daughter. This daughter of mine, the sister of Priyavrata and Uttanapada, is seeking a husband suitable for her age, character, and good qualities. The moment she heard from Narada Muni about your noble character, learning, appearance, youth, and virtues, she fixed her mind upon you. Therefore, please accept her, O best of the twice-born souls. I offered her to you, being convinced that she, in every way, is fit for taking charge of your household duties. To deny a thing of one's desire, that in fact came by itself, is not commendable, not even for someone who is free from attachment to sensual pleasures, let alone someone addicted. He who rejects what is offered generously, but begs from a miser, loses his honor and will see his reputation and renown ruined. O wise man, I heard that you intended to marry and hence have not taken the vow of perpetual celibacy. Then please accept my offer. The Rishi replied, yes, I would like to marry, and your daughter has not promised herself to anyone. Based upon this, a marriage of us, according to the rules, will be proper. Let that desire of your daughter, which is recognized by scriptural authority, be fulfilled, O King. Who would not adore your daughter? Her bodily luster alone outshines the beauty of her ornaments. Was it not Vishvavasu, a Gandharva, a heavenly being who, when he on the roof of the palace saw her with tinkling ankle bells and restless eyes playing with a ball, infatuated fell down from his elevated position with a mind in disarray? What man of wisdom would not welcome her, that gem of womanhood who came of her own accord to seek my hand as the beloved daughter of Manu and sister of Uttanapada, a woman who cannot be seen when one is not engaged at the feet of the goddess of fortune? This is therefore my condition. I will accept the chaste girl for as long as it takes her to be with child from the semen of my body. Thereafter, I consider to take up the duties of service as respected by the best ones of perfection, the Paramahamsas, they who are non-violent, about whom the Lord spoke to me. The highest authority for me is the Supreme Unlimited One, the Lord of the fathers of mankind, from whom this wonderful creation emanated, he in whom it will dissolve, and the one by whom it presently exists. Maitreya said, "This, O great warrior, was all he said," whereupon he became silent with his thoughts focused on Vishnu's lotus navel. With a beautiful smile on his face, he then captured the mind of Devahuti. After Manu had confirmed the decision taken by the Queen Mother Shatarupa, and also had probed his daughter's mind about him, he was most pleased to give her away who was endowed with as many good qualities and thus was a good match for him. Shatarupa, the empress, lovingly gave in dowry valuable presents to the bride and bridegroom, like ornaments, clothes, and household articles. The emperor, relieved of the responsibility of giving his daughter to a suitable man, then embraced her with an agitated mind full of anxiety. Unable to part from her, he shed tears, drenching his daughter's hair over and over with the water from his eyes, and cried, "Oh, dear mother, my dearest daughter!" After asking and receiving permission to leave him the best of sages, the emperor with his wife mounted his chariot and headed, along with his retinue, for his capital, on the road enjoying the tranquil scenery of the hermitages of the sages on both the charming banks of the river the Sarasvati. Elated to know who was arriving, the subjects of Brahmavarta went to meet him with songs, praise, and instrumental music. The city, rich with all kinds of wealth, was named Barasmati after the hairs of the shaking body of Lord Bor that had fallen down and turned into the evergreen Kusha and Kasha grass with which the sages in worship of Lord Vishnu defeated the disturbers of their sacrifices. Having spread that Kusha and Kasha grass, the greatly fortunate Manu had created a seat in worship of the Lord of Sacrifice, Vishnu, by whom he had achieved his position on earth. After arriving in the city of Barishmati, where he thus far had lived, the Mighty One entered his palace that eradicated the threefold miseries. Together with his wife and subjects, he, not disturbed by others, enjoyed the pleasures of life and was praised for his reputation of piety, for he was in his heart very drawn to listening with his wives each morning to the celestial musicians and talks about the Lord. Despite being absorbed in the bewildering power of his wealth, Swayambhuva Manu was alike a saint. As a supreme devotee of the Lord, he could not be led astray by his material enjoyments. He did not waste his time. Till the end of his life, he spent his days with listening to, contemplating, recording and discussing the topics of Lord Vishnu. Being connected by the topics of Vasudeva, he, thus transcending the three destinations, made his era last for the time of 71 Mahayugas. How can the miseries pertaining to one's body and mind, to the powers of nature, and to other men and living beings, O Vidura, ever trouble someone who has taken shelter of the Lord? On the request of the sages, he, Manu, who always cared about the welfare of all living beings, spoke about the different duties of the status orientations in society. This is what I could tell you about the wonderful character of Manu, the first emperor, who deserves all praise. Now, please listen to the success of his daughter, Devahuti.